Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord, beloved, on tonight. This is Cornerstone Deliverance Church.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is our Wednesday night Bible study. We are located at 830 Pepperidge Road in Westbury, New York, 11590. And our website is www.cornerstonedeliverancechurch.com. And we invite you to also peruse the website, amen, that you too can be blessed, amen, by what it is that the Holy Spirit has released, amen, through CSCC. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Beloved, tonight, amen, the lesson is going to be the second half of the Word of Knowledge. We pray that you was blessed by the first half. Amen. Sister Shirley, I see that you're on again tonight. Amen. And Evangelist Cookie, amen. Bless you. Amen. And everyone else that has joined us tonight for this study that is on. Sister Shirley, I'm going to ask that you just open us up in prayer. Commit the Bible study unto God.
Okay. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we come before that throne of grace, Lord, first asking that you forgive us of our sins, Lord God. Anything we said, did, or even thought about, Lord God, we ask that you forgive us, Lord. But, Lord, right now, as we go into this Bible study tonight, we ask that you close our natural ears and open up our spiritual ears, Lord God. Close our natural eyes and open up our spiritual eyes, Lord God. Anoint Asia, anoint Pastor Asia, and Bishop Herb to bring forth the word with a mighty power
Yes, Lord, take your time. It's okay. Lord, hallelujah.
Lord, we ask that you anoint them to bring forth your word. Lord, yes, use them mightily for your glory in the name of Jesus. And Lord, help us to understand and receive your word. And then apply it unto our lives in Jesus' name as we go. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. We thank God for the opening prayer through our very own Sister Shirley. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And we want to be able to encourage each and every one of you as we pull on your gifts and you are going forth and you're sharing. Amen. We all had to start somewhere. And this is when we're praying, we're talking to God, we're not talking to man, and God understands, amen. This is not about man, this is all about God, hallelujah. And so, beloved, this lesson tonight is on the word of knowledge. I want to give us a little recap of what took place last week. The word of knowledge is a revelatory gift. It's a glimpse into God's thoughts, revealing a present circumstance, situation, or condition. If you have noise in your background, I'm going to ask that I'll mute it. Amen. The word of knowledge is a revelatory gift, is a glimpse into God's thoughts, revealing a present circumstance, situation, or condition. It brings access to the mind of God with the intent of releasing the power of God. When God's mind is manifested, his solutions and power, they are accessible unto us. Amen. The word of knowledge is in the realm of seeing, and it is in the realm of knowing, amen? And it is a highlight, amen, of gifts to address the need for unity in the body of Christ, amen? This is what Apostle Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 12, amen? It was a concern for the body of Christ to be unified. We have to remember that Christ is not divided, amen? Amen. And so when I called on Sister Shirley to pray, there was no need for me to jump in and also pray because the Holy Spirit was using her at that time. Amen. And so the Holy Spirit is not limited and Christ is not divided and the Holy Spirit does not compete with himself. Amen. Hallelujah. So whatever he does through Spirit-filled Sister Shirley has to be good enough for us. Amen. Amen. So in the body of Christ, we're not competing with one another. Amen. It is one spirit that is working, and we will be in submission to order, rank, and protocol. Amen. So, beloved, this is the second half of this teach, and I believe the part that we left off on was in the Old Testament, the prophets operated in the word of knowledge as they revealed what was, what is, and what is to come. This is how they operated. We already addressed that the word of knowledge is an eternal gift by way of the Holy Spirit. That means that it's not subject to time. Amen. Past, present, or future. It transcends all of that, and it brings knowledge concerning all of that. They predicted the future and spoke the word of knowledge. Those gifted in the church today with the word of knowledge operate the same as the seers did in the Old Testament era. Amen. And so the seers in the Old Testament era operated as well in the word of knowledge. The Old Testament uses three Hebrew words that translated into the English word prophet or seer. Amen. So we're going to take a look at these words today, and we're going to give definitions of it that you can have a better understanding. Amen. You will find that in the Old Testament that there was a school of prophets. Amen. And the school of prophets was ran by Elijah, but it wasn't started by Elijah. The school of prophets was started by Samuel. Amen. But Elijah did wind up running it in his time. Amen. And so the three names for prophet that we're going to see is Nabe, Roe, Jose, and Koze. Amen. And so Nabe is spelled N-A-B-I. Amen. Roe is R-O-E-H. Jose is H-O-Z-E-H. Or Koze, which is C-H-O-Z-E-H. Amen. The Nabe in Hebrew.
Spell the last two? I'm sorry. Can you spell the last two again?
Yes. The last two is Jose, which is H-O-Z-E-H. Or Koze, which is the same word. H-O-Z-E-H. Or Koze, which is C-H-O-Z-E-H. And I just wanted to share with you that we do have the syllabus for this lesson that we sent out also with the link. You could just go to the church website, amen, to be able to obtain it. The Nabe in Hebrew literally means to bubble up, amen. So Nabe means to bubble up. Sometimes we tell you to stir up the gift, or this is when the prophetic comes and the person is bubbling over, amen. So Nabe in Hebrew literally means to bubble up. It describes one who is stirred up in spirit. It is the most used by the Hebrew writers. When the sense of bubbling up is applied to speaking, it becomes to declare. A Nabe or prophet is an announcer, amen? So someone that bubbles up, someone that is Nabe, someone that is a prophet, amen, announces, amen. One who pours forth the declarations of God. So this is important for you to know the difference. The Roe in Hebrew is someone who is gifted to reveal secrets. Someone to whom the Lord entrusts detailed information about someone or something. It is generally used to describe one who is a revealer of secrets or one who envisions. Amen? The word Koze or Jose refers to someone who sees or to perceive. It is used in reference to musicians, yet also has much insight or wisdom concerning the word of wisdom. Now, that's another gift of the Spirit, and we gave the definition, or we gave revelation concerning the nine gifts in the first lesson. They are advisors to kings, just as Gad was to David. The Hebrew does not indicate that the person is a prophet, rather an advisor, someone who has wisdom. And so we need to know the difference, one who has insight. And so I'm going to give you an example of this. The translator tried to indicate whether the message is spiritual. If spiritual, then they tend to translate Jose, prophet. If it does not give any indication of being spiritually generated, then they would render it advisor or counselor. In the Greek language, a prophet is simply one who speaks for another, one who speaks for a God, and so interprets the God's will to the people. Hence, the essential meaning is Greek, and it means interpreter. And so, beloved, the reason why we say here one who speaks for a God, even though we believe there is only one true and living God, amen, we find that in the Bible, when Elijah went against the prophets of Baal, they was false prophets of a false God, but they still considered themselves one who spoke for Baal. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so we wanted you to be able to see that. In the Greek language, a prophet is simply one who speaks for another, one who speaks for a God, and so interprets the God's will to the people. Hence, the essential meaning in Greek is just an interpreter. The Greek word for see is hore, and that's H-O-R-A-O. And that means to see, that means to perceive, that means to attend, and the usage of it means experience, perceive, and beware. The Greek word for prophet is prophetes, an interpreter or foreteller of the divine will. And so one who prophesies doesn't only foretell things to come, they also foretell the word of God. Amen? And so when we're bringing forth revelation concerning the scriptures, amen, we are prophesying, because it is not just foretelling the future, it is also foretelling what has already been revealed in scripture. Amen?
Amen.
And so the usage is prophet, is poet, a person gifted at expositing or clarifying or elaborating on divine truth. The conclusion is that a prophet is one who speaks for another, is a representative who carries a message, an expounder of God's word. Amen. And so we will find that, and I said this before, you may not be a prophet in mantle, because there are different levels of prophecy. I believe the beginning level of prophecy is intercessory prayer. Amen. When God begins to raise up someone in the prophetic, they have a very strong prayer life. If you do not like praying, amen, and you call yourself a prophet with a mantle, amen, it's a lie. That's a lying spirit, amen, because the beginning of the prophetic is intercessory prayer. The next step to the prophetic from intercessory prayer, amen, is discerning of spirit, amen. That means that, and that is one of the nine gifts of the spirit, that you should be able to know the difference between who is speaking, when they is speaking, whether it is human spirit, demonic spirit, or whether it be Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. You will find that when Jesus asked his disciples, when they came in from ministering, and Jesus said to his disciples, who do the people say I am? And some of them said, some of them say that you are Elijah, some of them believe that you are the Messiah. And then he said to them, who do you say I am? Because when the disciples was out ministering, they also could have been impacted and influenced by the world. We already knew that they was in conversation with the world because they knew what the world said. Amen?
Yes.
And so when he asked them, who do you say that I am? This is why it's important for us to hear from the sheep, to hear, you know, what it is that the sheep have heard while they've been out there, to be a, even when I sent my children to school, when they came home, it was my job to deprogram them. Amen. What happened in school? What went on? What took place? What did you do? You know, did anybody say anything to you? Anything new happen? Did you learn anything new? It's our job to deprogram, amen, because we sold the truth. We sold the word. We have a way of life, amen, in Christ, amen. And so when we send our children out to school, they are impacted by their environment, amen. And kids say the darndest things. They come back, They're so pure, and they will tell you exactly what is going on. Amen. They will, and they will say it so pure as if it's not a problem. Amen. And so you will find that that's what took place with Jesus and the disciples. And so only Peter was able to say, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus was able to say unto Peter, "Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, Peter." So Jesus was saying the revelations that Peter received came forth by way of the Holy Ghost. Jesus understood that there was no way that Peter could know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, but by revelation. Amen? And so we have to understand that there's times when people, even our leaders, even our sisters and brothers in Christ, are speaking by way of the Spirit, Holy Ghost Spirit, and there's times when they're speaking out of human spirit, amen, and there's times when they're speaking by demonic spirit, when Jesus began to tell. Amen. Before I go into that, when Jesus responded to Peter, Jesus said unto Peter, amen, "Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, and upon this rock I will build my church." And when he mentioned rock, it was not the name of Peter in which the church was going to be built, but Jesus is the rock. The word that Peter spoke was Christ. It was revelation. It was upon the revelation of Jesus being the Christ was the church going to be built. Amen? And so I just wanted to touch on that. But and then there was another time, amen, when Jesus was explaining to his disciples and he was prophesying his upcoming death. And Peter said, "No, Jesus, you will not die that way. These things will not happen to you." Peter began to speak against the will of God. Amen? So Jesus said unto Peter, not speaking to Peter, but the spirit that motivated and used Peter's vocal cords at that time, he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Amen? Hallelujah. And so I'm not going to rebuke pertaining to, that's not true, I would rebuke a human spirit. Hallelujah. I was about to say, I'm not going to rebuke a human spirit, but I don't have to tell a human spirit to get behind me. Amen? Hallelujah. But when Jesus spoke those things to Peter, and those of you that come up out of Salvation Deliverance Church, you know this already, that we speak to spirits. Amen. Jesus spoke to spirits. We grew up seeing this and knowing this, that you can speak in authority to a demonic spirit, and you can tell it, "Get thee behind me." Amen. Walk in dry places. You can bind the strong man. Amen. And plunder the strong man's house. Amen. There was another time when Jesus went to Samaria. And in Samaria, they did not receive Christ. They didn't want no healing. They didn't have faith for deliverance. They didn't have faith for none of that. And at that moment, Jesus' disciples said, "Should we call down fire on Samaria like Elijah?" Jesus said, "You know not what spirit you speak of. For the Son of Man did not come in the world to do what? To destroy the world, but that the world..." Moment they were speaking by way of the wrong spirit. This is why it's important for those of us that are in Christ to have self-control, to be able to control our own spirit. Amen. Have you seen in the Bible where it says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet? Have we seen that? Because we spoke about a lot of scripture. We didn't read it yet. But I want y'all to see this. The prophet should be able to control his or her spirit, or the prophetic person, because you don't have to be a prophet to operate in the prophetic, because the Holy Ghost is a prophetic spirit. Amen? And so 1 Corinthians 14:32, I'm going to ask the first person to get it to read it. 1 Corinthians 14:32. If you believe that you have a prophetic mantle and you walk in the gift of prophecy, you should be able to control your spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Self-control and discipline is one of the fruits of the spirit. Amen. 1 Corinthians 14:32. What does it say?
And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophet.
The spirit of the prophet is subject to who?
To the prophets.
So the Holy Ghost ain't subject to the prophet, but you can't control your own spirit. So the Bible also teaches us that the prophets speak two and three and let the other judge at a time and let the others judge. This means that the prophecy that comes forth needs to be judged by the word of God, measured by the word of God. to know that that word is authentic, and not only that the word is authentic, but that the origin of the word, the spirit in which the word came from, is authentic. Amen? Amen. So the prophet should be able to control his own spirit. Let us go to Acts 2, Acts 16 really quick. I want you to see this. Can the wrong spirit speak the right thing? This comes up in a lot of our teaching, and I just want to share this with this group in this lesson. Can the wrong spirit speak the right thing?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So I want to show you in Acts 16 how the wrong spirit can speak the right thing.
Acts 16.
And what it is, Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. And I'm trying to find it myself. Amen. Acts 16. Let us start reading that at verse 1. Someone that have it.
Okay.
Acts chapter 16. Okay, I'll read it, but y'all just follow on in your word. It says, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported by the brethren. Let me see if I want to read from one. I don't think I want from one. Let me go down a little further. I want something else. Okay, let me go up. Just bear with me 1 minute, because I don't believe that we have to read all of that. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Just bear with me. Okay, let's start at 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, surely gathering that the word had, that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, losing from Trios, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of the part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, I'm going to keep reading. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the woman which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. This is prayer by the riverside. We could pray anywhere. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, this is it right here, what I want you to pay attention to, verse 16. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masses much gain by soothsaying. So this woman operated in the spirit of witchcraft and divination. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which shew unto us the way of salvation. Even the witchcraft spirit, the spirit of divination, which was really a Python spirit, knew who they were, amen, and knew their message. And this did she many days. So this spirit was amongst them many days. Amen. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. and he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers. And so they was taken before the magistrates and imprisoned because of this, because they touched the money of the people in this city. But in this text, we see that this is a divination spirit, a python spirit, amen, that is speaking the right thing. But it is the wrong spirit. Apostle Paul, through discerning of spirits, now this is the gift of discerning of spirits, knowing which spirit is speaking at the time that it is speaking. This is the Holy Spirit working through you now. Amen? He discerned that that was not the Spirit of God, even though the Spirit was saying the right thing. He cast the Spirit out. Amen? Hallelujah. So this tells you that a wrong spirit can speak the right thing. We should not be tossed to and fro with every wind and doctrine or everything that sounds right. We don't only need to know if the content of the message is true. We need to know if the spirit that is speaking the message is the spirit of truth. Amen? So we have to be able to dig deeper, beloved. And your relationship with the Holy Spirit and him working the gift of discernment through you makes you aware of what spirit is speaking. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And so we see here that the conclusion is that a prophet is one who speaks for another, a representative who carries a message, an expounder of God's word. Amen? The usage, one who speaks for another, but it is not limited to God in this situation. Moses and Aaron relationship is comparable to God and Moses. Remember, God said unto Moses, he gave Moses an assignment. Moses, of course, said, I'm slow of speech. he wanted to take Aaron. God said, you can take Aaron if you want, but that's not going to excuse you from your assignment. He said, you can take Aaron if you want, but Moses, you will be unto Aaron what I am unto you. So Aaron spoke on Moses' behalf, but Moses spoke on God's behalf. Amen? Hallelujah. And so that's how it is in order, rank, and protocol concerning the church. Order, rank, and protocol is so important. Order plus rank equal protocol. And where there is no protocol, the power of God is diminished. Amen? Even the kingdom of God is orderly. Even the angelic, divine, and diabolic kingdom is orderly. Amen? You're not going to find the messenger, Angel Gabriel, telling Mike, I want your spot. Amen? Hallelujah. Wherever it is that the Holy Spirit places you, that's where you need to be, and you need to learn how to be good at that. Amen? Hallelujah. I don't want to be Evangelist Cookie. And I don't want to be Sister Shirley, and I'm most definitely not trying to be Brother Darryl Golden. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to be and do what God called me to do, and I want to be developed in that. Amen? And I want to know that I'm a part of something that is bigger and greater than me alone. Hallelujah. Amen? And we should be able to be unified and work together. Amen? Hallelujah. Listen, the thought of our late Apostle Brown was, Lord, make us all one. And so this is what Apostle Paul was teaching them, unity with the gift, because there's only one spirit that is working these gifts. Amen? You are not working these gifts outside of the Holy Ghost. So ranks and leadership should be respected, for as God was to Moses, so was Moses to Aaron. Amen? Beloved, we're going to go into Genesis for a minute. We're going to speak on, if we're all familiar with Genesis, before the fall of Adam, God made him and his wife seers. Adam and Eve was able to see. Amen. I can say the he-man and the she-man. Amen. They was able to see. God created man from the dust. Adam a frame, and man is really spirit. What I want you to know, that the frame of Adam and Eve was dust. Dust is not the dirt. If you were to throw dirt up in the air, the byproduct in the air is the dust. Amen? And so man was made from the dust, Adam, which is the frame. Amen? But God created man, which is spirit. From the dust, Adam, frame, man had no life until God breathed ruach. He blew his breath into his nostrils. The breath of life, which is Holy Ghost, spirit, man became a living soul. In a nutshell, God hosted himself in a material being, which is a human. Amen? And so the Amen. Spirit in man, the spirit in man is, when I say man, the spirit in Adam, in our frame, is called man. That spirit is called man. But there is a he-man and a she-man. Amen? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because of a hallelujah, Jesus. But in Christ, there is no male, no female, no Greek, no Jew, or no bond or free. There is only Christ. There is only one new man, and that is Christ. In Christ, there is no rank and order concerning gender. Amen? In Christ. Because in Christ, the he-man and the she-man is the bride of Christ, and only Christ is the husband. So you will find that sometimes within the order of the church, and it does not excuse my husband being my husband and me respecting the order of my family. Amen. I'm speaking of in Christ. Hallelujah. Concerning the order of the church. And if you want to learn more about that, we did release a book, The Structure of the Church. And it does speak of the structure of family and the structure of the church concerning scriptures that God has given unto us. Amen. And we will send out that link for those of you that want to go a little further. Amen. And that the Holy Spirit is not subject to gender. Amen. So you will find that there was places that Jesus went into that he was not received. Amen. There was places that Mary Magdalene went. When she, even when she was the first to bring the word concerning the resurrection, she was not received. Because your gender does not limit the move of the Holy Ghost in you, and people's perspective should not limit the move of the Holy Ghost in you. You ought to speak what thus says the Lord and allow them to respond to God. If they can receive it, they will receive it. If they won't, that's their business. Amen. What limits is what they can receive, because God may keep sending the same vessel. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we don't want to be limited. I'm not going to allow myself to be limited. Hallelujah. There's many places that I've been to, and one place that Bishop and I went to, I was called the companion of the bishop. Amen. Hallelujah. The bishop called me the companion of the bishop. And then my husband, stood up and testified. And when he testified, he set the order of his house. Amen. That his wife was his apostle. Amen. That his wife was his leader. And that who he was, he gave the testimony on how God raised him up. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, hallelujah, he set the order for his house. Because no man can set the order for Bishop Hurd's house. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Bishop Hurd knows the order for his house. Amen. God Amen. Has set that order. But when he said the bishop's companion, amen, there was an opportunity. There was a woman that was a pastor that I did not know. She was a shepherd at that time. And she was bubbling over, but there was bondage there. What was operating was not the Holy Spirit. And I looked around and I'm waiting for one of the leaders there to assist her that she can be free. No one assisted her. And so I pushed my hand into her stomach, the Holy Spirit, and I spoke what God told me to speak. The Holy Spirit slayed her. I took the coat of the bishop that called me the companion of the bishop, and I shook it and I covered her. Amen. Hallelujah. And so the Holy Spirit that day slayed most of the people in the house. Amen. And so you can see me as the bishop companion, But you cannot deny the gift of the apostleship that works. Amen. The gift speaks for itself. Hallelujah. And
amen.
So I try not to get caught up in. I try not to get caught up in how people perceive me. And you should not get caught up in how people perceive you, because it is a perspective until they get a revelation. The disciples had a perspective of Jesus until they got a revelation of who he is. Amen. And so I just want to be able to encourage you. Amen. Let the Holy Spirit set the order. There's many places that we went into where the Holy Spirit had to set the order. Amen. Hallelujah. And so it's not for me to set the order, because the battle is not mine. Whatever it is that God will want me to do, I'm surrendering to his Spirit so that his Spirit can be who he is. Amen. Through me. So I want to encourage you in that. Amen. Let us turn to 2 Corinthians 4:6-7. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 6 through 7. Amen?
Amen.
It reads, praise the Lord, Mother Robin. Amen. It reads as this: for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Amen. And so the power that is within us, that we are able to do what it is that we do, is by way of God. It is not by ourselves. Amen. He put his Spirit on the inside of every Spirit-filled believer, and everything that you need, you receive through the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. God gave you everything that you need. Hallelujah. The Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of the fear of the Lord, the Spirit of might. Amen. Everything that you need is there. Before I go into counsel with anyone, I put on a demand on the Spirit of counsel. Amen. I acknowledge God. I acknowledge what he has given me by way of the Holy Spirit, all the attributes of the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is not in lack. In order for me to give counsel, I need for the Spirit of counsel to bubble up in me. In order for me to give the word of knowledge, amen, the Spirit of knowledge has to work through me. These are the seven eyes of God. I want y'all to turn to 1 Corinthians, is it 1 Corinthians? Isaiah. Let me see. I believe it's Isaiah. Why does the scripture escape me? 1 minute. Let me pull it up. I think it's Isaiah 11. It is. It's Isaiah 11, beloved. Holy Ghost, I thank you. It did not escape me. To remember is light, and to forget is darkness. Amen. So I thank God for remembering. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Isaiah 11, and Isaiah 11 reads as this: and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him quick of understanding and the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. Amen. And so, beloved, we should not be judging after the sight of our own eyes. Jesus did not. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Amen. We should not reprove or correct or rebuke. Amen. After our own hearing and ears or seeing, because we have the Holy Spirit, and also the Spirit of wisdom is very much present, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. You cannot reverence God properly without the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Amen. It is the Holy Spirit in us that teaches us how to fear the Lord, how to reverence God, how to awe God. Amen? And so sometimes we go about it in our own way, and we don't acknowledge God, that he may direct our path. But once you begin to acknowledge God, amen, hallelujah, that he can direct your path, Lord, am I reverence you properly? I need to put a demand on the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Amen? You see it right here. Amen? Verse 4 says, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor and reprove the equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. With the very breath. Roar. Amen. This is why the Bible teaches us that out of the mouth speaks life and death, blessings and curses. Out of your mouth, the breath word speaks life and death, blessings and curses. Sometimes we speak our own defeat and we speak our own downfall. You don't want to speak your own defeat and your own downfall. It may not look good. It may not look prosperous. You may not have no money in your bank account. Amen. But the Bible says, let the poor say, I am what? And let the weak say that I am what? Hallelujah. You have to prophesy. Call those things that are not as if they are. Hallelujah. Because your provision is coming from the Lord, beloved. Amen. And so it is important for those of us that want to spiritually mature that we begin to depend on the attributes of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So man is a tripartite being. This means he is a three-dimensional man. He has three components which constitute a being. He is a spirit with a soul that lives in a body. Amen. We are a spirit with a soul that lives in a body. And three components, right, all three of these components responded to God before the fall of man. So before the fall of man, man's spirit, soul, and body responded to God. After the fall in Genesis, the three parts split and responded differently. The spirit of man is God conscious. We worship him in spirit and truth. It is your spirit that responds to God. The Holy Spirit is lodged in your spirit. And you are made one with him. Amen? The soul is self-conscious, and the body is world-conscious. Even while I'm out throughout the day, my spirit is responding to God. My spirit is in prayer. My spirit is interceding. My spirit is worshiping and remembering the promises of God. Even as my body is world conscious, my spirit, hallelujah. Why? Because my spirit is one with his spirit. Hallelujah. Those that are joined together with the spirit of God, we are what? One. One with the spirit, amen? And so we have to learn how to allow our spirit to continuously be in fellowship. Have you ever slept, but your spirit was awake? Just ministering and fellowshipping, and God is downloading things into your spirit, and you awake with revelation, instruction, direction. You know just what to do. Amen. That is your spirit responding to God. Amen.
Amen.
Sin cut us from perfection, but Christ has united our spirit with his. Our soul is being transformed, and there will be a day when our bodies will be corrupt. Amen? So the body is going back to the dust of the earth. Nobody wants to lose this tent, this vessel. But there is another vessel that has been prepared for you, not by the hands of man. It's glory. Amen? Hallelujah. A spiritual body. Hallelujah, my God. And so we should be looking and pressing for that. Before the fall of man, man was like God. Man had the life of God. He could hear God. He could speak to God. Well, I shouldn't say he. Man, there's a he man and a she man. Okay? So when I say man, I'm speaking of both the he man and the she man. So before the fall, the he man and the she man was like God, had the life of God, could hear God, could speak to God, and have fellowship with God. God's presence resided in man, and he was mobile glory carrier until sin came in and separated him from God. Amen. For those of us that are born again, born of the Spirit of God, amen. What does the Bible say in John 3? Jesus said this to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You must be born again. You must be born of the water and of the spirit. Nicodemus would have carnal mind, a mind of the worldly things, did not understand. And so he spoke from his understanding. Shall I go back up into my mother's womb, you know, and I'm a man and be born again? But Jesus gave him a revelation. Are you not a teacher of the law, but you do not understand the things of the prophets? This means that this stuff has already been prophesied and revealed. Amen? He says, no, you must be born of the Spirit, of the water and of the Spirit. Amen? You must be born again, because being born again or baptized by the Holy Ghost, baptized by Jesus Christ, receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost in fire, graces us to be glory carriers again. Amen?
Amen.
It gives us back what man lost. Amen. In Genesis. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. When man disobeyed God, the very first thing that happened to man was, now take a look at these things. The first thing was the loss of his spiritual eyes. The second, the eyes of self and the eyes of the world opened up at that moment. The eyes of deceit and the eyes of sin popped open. He had lost the eyes of a seer and now had the eyes of a sinner. Their spiritual eyes shut down and their physical eyes were open. Amen. So they were open to the things of the world. The seer has been blessed with two visions. This is why I like to tell you that you don't only have natural senses, you also have spiritual senses. Amen. Early in my ministry, amen, there's times when I would smell flowers, amen. And so when I would smell flowers and there was no flowers around, I knew that it was the presence of God, amen. When there is no natural reason for what is taking place, I begin to speak to God, amen, hallelujah. And so I knew that he was near or that we was going to be in fellowship, because when he would come, I would smell flowers. Amen? Hallelujah. Or when he would manifest himself, I would smell flowers. Amen? That was my theophany, you know, my experience, amen, with God. Amen? And so there was no physical reason for me to smell flowers because I had no fresh flowers. But I smelled it in the spirit. And so my sense of smell in the spirit was activated. Amen? My sense of smell, there was no reason for it in the physical realm, but in the spirit. Amen? So I'm going to give you a little more information about this. The seer sees what the Lord allows. When a word of knowledge comes forth, a person knows something by the Spirit of God. It can be a manifestation of hearing. It can be a manifestation of seeing. It could be a manifestation of feeling or some other type of leading or smelling. Amen? Or smelling. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Have anyone ever experienced this? Amen. Have anyone, we want you to be able to have anyone ever experienced smelling something?
I've recently had a experience of smelling something for the past 2 days, and it just smelled like a perfume.
It smelled like what?
It smelled like a perfume from somebody that I had met that I was actually working with, and then I had bought the perfume, but I threw it out because it reminded me of this particular person. But for the past 2 days, it felt like I was smelling like that scent in my room. So
Amen.
I opened the door.
Amen. So there was no natural reason for
None.
You to smell but, that perfume, not on your clothes or nothing?
No, because it was at
Amen.
Night where I was in bed.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen.
And so you... There's times when I don't just pray against demonic spirits. I pray against human spirits. Amen. And
amen.
I pray against anything that leaves this body. Amen. You know, especially in the midnight hour, because witches like to leave their body. You know, my prayer is that if you don't leave my space, my heavens right now. I pray that you get locked out of your body in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You have
Amen.
To learn how to take authority, and you have to know what is going on in your heavenlies. Amen. You have to know. You have to be able to discern what's going on in my heavenlies.
Yes.
May not be going on in your heavenlies. You could
Amen.
Be getting tormented, and I may not be tormented. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So you
Amen.
Have to be able to know what is going
it's
on
different.
In your heavenlies. You get to allow and disallow certain things. You know, the Bible says whatever you allow, amen, whatever you bind in heaven will be bound in earth. Amen. You don't have to allow these things to take place. The enemy needs permission. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't give
amen.
Him access. You can
amen.
You can deny access. Amen. You
That's
have
right.
the authority to mm-hmm. deny access. Is there anyone else that has smelled something, seen something, even if it's a ripple in the atmosphere? Sometimes I see that. Moving darkness,
yes.
I see that. Amen.
Wow.
Who else?
Yes, it's me, Sister Shirley.
Oh, praise God. What do you see, Sister
Angel.
Shirley?
Uh-huh. It's not so much as what I've seen. When I was young in the Lord, I used to smell
mm-hmm.
flowers just like you. But with flowers, I didn't see it as representing God. I saw
mm-hmm.
it as I thought it was death that I was smelling, because every time I smelt that smell, somebody that I knew or somebody around me would die. And I used to one day we were in church and I was ushering, and when I was going on to my post, I walked past someone, I didn't know who it was, and the smell was so strong in that particular
mm-hmm.
area. You know, in Salvation
mm-hmm.
and Deliverance, when
mm-hmm.
when the ushers used to stand by the door where the choir was at?
Right.
Right. I was standing there, and I smelt that smell so strong. And when Pastor Brown came down off the pulpit to minister, he called the lady out, and he told her, "You were dying." And I said, "That's what I smell. That's
mm-hmm.
who it was that I smelled." And, yeah, and also God had anointed my eyes to see demon spirits also. So,
uh-huh. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, it's good to be able to see, and seeing, you should be able to see both ways, seeing the
right.
angels, that which is divine and diabolic. But when you
mm-hmm.
said that you smelled the spirit of death, I too have smelled that spirit from a young age. For me, it
mm-hmm.
didn't smell like flowers, but that may have been your relation to, like, the funeral flowers or whatever it was. And so God has shown me.
I didn't know I was smelling flowers because I didn't know
right.
what it smelled like.
Mm.
I didn't
but
know
I'm
what it was
But I'm going to share something
smelling.
With you, Sister Shirley. Recently, about a year ago, God brought that smell of death back to me. And when I smelled it, I said, "Man, I know that smell. That's a smell from my youth. What is that?"
Mm-hmm.
And he clearly spoke to me that I have given you authority to combat death, to rebuke death. Amen?
Wow,
and so if
amen.
God has opened up your senses to it, then even when our leaders are praying for the sick, you know, those of us in the pews, we have power. Amen? And y'all remember how we as children would stretch forth our hand when Apostle
mm-hmm.
William Brown was casting out demons, and we would say,
mm-hmm.
"Come out in the name of Jesus." You have power.
Mm-hmm.
When you smell the spirit of death, when you smell death, it's because the spirit is present. Amen. You can rebuke death. You do
Amen.
Have power. That thing is
mm-hmm.
present around you. And it may not be your death, but it may be the death of someone else or the death of something. Amen. So I'm going
right.
to just ask you to pay attention. You know, when you smell that, begin to speak to God. Ask God to reveal. Amen. When you're
okay.
seeing things, moving darkness, ask God to reveal what is going on. When I see moving darkness, I begin to bind and loose, and I command the enemy to walk in dry places, and I turn over and I go to sleep. But there was a time
mm-hmm.
when it troubled me. Amen. But
Amen.
As I matured, I understood that the enemy don't have any power over me. It doesn't mean that he's not present. Apostle Paul
right.
said, whenever he wanted to do good, evil was what? Always present. Amen.
Always
and so that moving darkness, they're like shadows. Amen. Hallelujah. And so they
right.
are low-level demonic spirits. Amen. And so you have authority. God has given us in his word authority over demonic principalities. Amen. When he commissioned us to preach his gospel, he has given us authority. So what I would like for y'all to do, that smell that you have been smelling, that's the word of knowledge. So that means that at a young age, you was operating in the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge can reveal anything to you, past, present, and future, the word of knowledge. And so that present could be someone's sickness. You smell the death on someone. The spirit of death was clearly present. That spirit came in the church on her back. Amen. Some of us wonder, how does demon spirits get in the church? They ride in on the saint's back. That's how they got
it. Right.
You was the caboose that the spirit rode in on. Amen. And so it is, amen. And then under the anointing of us all being together and touching and agreeing, those spirits should not be able to stay. Amen. People, one chase 1,000, two chase 10. This is why it's important for us to worship. Because when we pray, the Holy Spirit inhabit our praises. Amen. We want people to be able to be made free. Amen. And in service. Amen. In our worship, even if it's via conference, that's where there's always a time for worship. Why? Because when we pray, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit inhabits the praises of God's people. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We want the Holy Spirit to inhabit our praise. We want the power of God to come down. Amen? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Is there anyone else that want to share? Remember, y'all can start writing journals. Get you a journal. On this day, I smell the spirit of death. Go into prayer. Speak to God. Ask God to reveal. Begin to pray against what it is that you're smelling that is evil, that is not right. Amen. And it is good that you was able to identify that that is what it was. Amen.
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 Praise
Amen.
Lord.
Yes, Evangelist Cookie.
I smelled the smell of death as well. But it wasn't flowers. It wasn't sweet smelling. It was a
smell.
So you smelled what I smelled. I didn't know what it was at that time. It was one of my brothers. And I did not know anything about it. I thought maybe he needs to wash, but my sister couldn't smell it. But I smelled it. And a few months later, that's what he died. A few months later. It just smelled like almost like rotting flesh. And so,
amen, amen.
I don't relate to the smell of death like everybody else.
And that's true. We're different. We are uniquely and wonderfully made.
Right.
And so her relation to death may be flowers. Her relation to death may be. See, we have to remember our uniqueness in the spirit. Amen.
Amen.
We was where smack people and they was healed. I've never known nobody to smack anybody and they get healed. Amen. But if I was sick, I would want Wigglesworth to smack me. Amen. Hallelujah. Because I would want to be healed. Whichever way the healing was coming, I would want it to come. Amen. And so the fact that she smelled flowers, amen, and it didn't have to be a sweet-smelling flowers, because the time that I smelled flowers, it was sweet. The time that I smelled death, it was like a strange scent. Amen. Her relation to death may be, even those flowers from, you know, because at funerals, the flowers from the funeral smell different than other flowers to me. You know, they do carry a certain scent. And so I'm not going to say that sister, because it was a stench to Sister Cookie, and it was more like flowers to Sister Shirley, I'm not going to say that it wasn't death. Amen? Because remember that the enemy tried to transform himself into different things, amen, even to the angel of light, even his agents try to make themselves false pastors, prophets, and evangelists, amen. So what I would say to you is to journal, you know, early in my ministry, I journaled a lot. I don't journal as much now, and I believe that I should journal more, but I journaled every prophetic word, whether it came through me, God speaking directly to through me or through someone else. I would journal the date, the time, who it came from, how it was spoken, whether I saw it, whether it dropped in my spirit, whether it was a still, small voice, whether it was a dream. Amen. I want you to know that your dreams are your is your prophetic mirror. What was going on in the dream room, the enemy makes deposits in the dream room. God makes deposits in the dream room. And so you have to be mindful. Everybody's dreaming. Even if you don't remember it, pray and ask God to help you to remember what's happening when you close your eyes at night. Amen. When you wake up, if you don't remember, you want to remember. Amen. Sometimes people are dying. Sometimes you're warring. Amen. There was weeds. Right. There was tears that grew up with the wheat. And one of the, hallelujah, Jesus was asked, how did this happen? How did the wheat, how did we get tears in the wheat? You planted good seed. He said, an enemy has done this. And so before I go to bed, I like to meditate. Lord, give me dreams by way of the Spirit. I like to let the scriptures play in my ear. I like to set an atmosphere for me to have a peaceful sleep or for me to have dreams that originate from the Holy Spirit. I don't want my sleep to be an open ground for the demonic. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so I would suggest that you journal. I would journal the date, the time. You know, even if the place, I would journal if it was a dream, everything that took place in the dream, colors, symbols, all kind of things. And then I would seek God for an understanding or a revelation of the dream. And also I would journal when it came to pass. And so I got very, I should say, careful about journaling the spoken word. Amen, the prophesied word, and then journaling when it came to pass. And so I remember when I was being ordained, amen, hallelujah, not in my ordination, I was being installed because I was helping another woman pastor in her ministry. And so I was thinking, oh, now, you know, I got to write this biography. Everybody writes a biography. But the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, you didn't call yourself, write the prophecy. I said, what? He said, you didn't call yourself, write the prophecy. I went right back to my journal, and every prophetic word that came forth concerning the call of God on my life, I had date, time, who spoke it. I was able to write the prophetic word and the fulfillment of it. And so what it was, me being installed that day was just the word of God being fulfilled. That's all it was. God speaks. And he does what he says that he's going to do. Amen. Mm-hmm. So, and I remember I saved the bulletin for that day for both of them, for the ordination and for the installation. I saved the bulletin, amen, for that. And the prophecy is there. There was nothing about my education, who my mother was, my father was. It was none of that. Amen. It was just what God was saying. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, but that was how the Holy Spirit led me. He led me in that way. He said, you didn't call yourself, write the prophecy. Amen. And at that moment, I didn't even remember that I had prophecy, but I went back to my little pink journal and I was able to open it up and there everything was. Amen. Duly noted, date and time. Each step, I could see God. I could see that it was God. I could see that it is God. Amen.
Amen.
And so I try to keep my walk to be that way. I want to be led by God. I want to be where he wants me to be and not where I want to be. I don't take every invitation, amen, because if he's not sending me or if he doesn't give me a word, I'm not going, amen. The opportunity comes from God. It doesn't come from man. Every opportunity is not good opportunity, amen, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Right.
And I'm not trying to be blessed by everybody. Amen.
Amen.
My needs are being met according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I don't want the devil to bless me. Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. So I want to be able to touch on this really quick because this came up pertaining to the blessing. Amen. Hallelujah. Where are we going to go? We're going to Abraham and Melchizedek. That's the scripture that I want, the one with Abraham and Melchizedek. Okay, that's he. No, I don't want Hebrews 7. I want Genesis. I want to be able to go to the point when the king of Sodom is trying to make a deal with Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about? Someone help me find it. We are a many-member body. He tells Abraham that he can keep the spoils. But he wanted the people. You see, the king wants the subjects. You're not a king without your subjects. Amen. Hallelujah. The king wants control of the people. Amen. You're not a king. I believe it's Genesis 14. And I believe it's verse 21. And but we're going to go up a little further than that. Let's go to Genesis 14. This is a little off. But because we spoke about being not being blessed by the enemy, I want to be able to touch on this. Amen. Yeah, let us go to Genesis 14. We're going to start at verse 18. This was when Lot was taken, and there was, I believe it was three other kings. Their kingdom was raided. We're going to start at 18. Mm-hmm. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And he gave him a tithe of all. So I'm just going to touch on this because we read it. Melchizedek, this is a Melchizedek, in which Jesus' priesthood is an order of. He's king and priest. Amen. Mm-hmm. He blessed Abraham. When he blessed Abraham, Abraham then gave him a tenth, gave him a tithe. This was before the Levitical law. Abraham gave a tithe to the priest that blessed him. Amen? Hallelujah. Your tithe stays in the house of the shepherd that prays for your soul and bless you. Amen? Your offering, you can give an offering anywhere. That's your free will. But your tithe stays in a house to the work of Jesus Christ under the shepherd that blesses you. Amen?
Amen.
That prays for your soul, that labors for your soul. Now, 21 says, now the king of Sodom said to Abram, give me the person and take the goods for yourself. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have raised my hand to the Lord, God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from a dead to a sandal strap, and that I will take, and I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, I have made Abraham rich, except only what the young men have eaten, and the portion of the men who went with me, Anur, Eshcol, and Mamre, let them take their portion. So Abraham was blessed by God.
Amen.
And he told the king of Sodom, I won't take none of this for you. He gave a tenth unto God, amen, Melchizedek to the priest, amen, and those that went into war with him, they took their portion. But Abram said to the king of Sodom, you will never say that you made me rich, amen. So everybody cannot bless me, amen. God bless me. He has made me rich, spiritually rich,
amen.
And whatever he don't give me, I don't need, amen, hallelujah.
That's right.
Whatever God don't give you, you don't need. Amen? Don't take the bribe. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Don't do it. Hallelujah. Wait on God. Let him bless you. So I just wanted to show you that because we touched on that. Amen? And so it can be a manifestation of hearing, seeing, feeling, or some other type of leading. He does not give random pieces of information without purpose. God does not do this. When he reveals something, it is because he wants to do something. Amen. When God reveals something, it is he is a purposeful God. Amen. He does things on purpose and for a purpose. Amen. Let us read Matthew chapter 10, verse 26. And so those of you that have been smelling death, amen, it is for a purpose. Amen. And God has allowed you to smell it in purpose and for a purpose, amen? He will develop you when you begin to respond to God concerning what you are smelling, he can equip you. Amen. Hallelujah. But when we smelling these things and seeing these things and feeling these things or hearing these things that there is no natural reason for, you have to be like Samuel. Speak, Lord. Your servant, listen. Amen. Your servant, amen. Hallelujah. You have to respond to God. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that is not that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Matthew 10:26. And so, beloved, if you seek God for revelation, I was speaking to Prophet Deidre Williams today, and we were speaking about the different realms of prayer. Amen. It came up in our fellowship. Amen. And so there's one realm of prayer concerning acts, and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. That's the second realm of prayer. And then the third is knock and the door shall be open. And so there's so many things still in the action stage. We're still asking for things. You know, we want so much, asking for things and money and this and that. And we just want, you know, more power, more anointing. We just want things. Amen. But when you mature to the seek, you're not asking for things, but you're seeking the presence of God. Amen? Yeah. And when you find him, because it says seeking, you will find. When you find him, you have everything that you need. Amen? Everything that you need is in him. And so we grow from asking to seeking, because now we don't want things or people or whatever it is or just gifts. We want the giver of the gift. So we begin to seek the presence of God.
Amen.
So in our maturity, we will start, we are from the action stage that we may receive. We are in the seeking stage that we may find him. Amen?
Amen.
When you find
Amen.
Him, everything that you need is him. And then that third rim is the rim of knocking and the door being opened. That's that access to the holies of holies. You being pulled in by the Spirit and being enveloped by the Spirit. Amen. Knock and the door shall be open unto you. And so we have to develop in the different realms of prayer. Amen. Oh, I believe that I was speaking concerning the prophetic, and I don't think I finished that before. But I want to bounce back into that really quick, that the first part of prophecy is intercessory prayer. The second is discerning the spirit. The third is the third is prophecy. The gift of prophecy, amen? And so you can, the Holy Spirit can work the gift of prophecy through you, the word of knowledge or the word of wisdom, but that don't make you a prophet. That's just one of the gifts of the Spirit working through you. The fourth is the mantle of a prophet, amen? And so Samuel, amen, he was priest and prophet, amen? It was Elijah was prophet, amen? Elisha, prophet. They had mantles. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we find that in the body of Christ, people prophesy one time, or they may come up under a prophetic mantle or a ministry with a prophetic mantle and prophesy. They run around now, they're a prophet. They don't brought a cape and all kind of stuff. They crazy. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Mm-hmm. All you did, you will find that when Saul came into the company of the prophet, didn't Samuel tell Saul, you will come into the company of the prophets and you will prophesy? You can come up under a prophetic mantle or in companies of prophets, and the mantle of that house will rest upon you, and you too will be able to prophesy. But that does not make you a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
People wondered what Saul wanted a prophet. No, he wasn't a prophet. Amen? But where there is a strong mantle, those that come up under that mantle, that is present under that mantle, can prophesy. Amen? And so we don't want people, just because you gave a prophetic word or God used you in a prophetic word, we don't want you to run out and call yourself a prophet, because there are stages of development when it comes to that. You know, you find yourself out there and the enemy beat you up. Amen? Hallelujah.
Amen, amen.
Because you wind up in a place where you don't have the authority to be. You need authority to be in these places. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
And so Matthew 10:26 says, therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. Right? Luke 8:17 says, for nothing is hidden that will not become evident, nor anything secret that will not that will not be known and come to light. Amen. So everything hidden in the darkness will come to light. But there is nothing covered up that will not be revealed and hidden that will not be known accordingly. Whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. Amen. And you see that in Luke 12:2-3. Amen. And so, beloved, listen, don't be afraid of the unknown. Don't be so concerned, amen, about those things, amen, that you do not know. You can always ask God for revelation. Daniel was a prophet, amen, hallelujah, up under a pagan king, amen. And under this pagan king had a dream. And when he had this dream, this was a dream that God had given to the pagan king. God snatched the dream back. The dream was hidden from the king. But this dream troubled Nebuchadnezzar. Amen. Nebuchadnezzar, being troubled by this dream, wanted to remember the dream and know the meaning of the dream. He could not tell those Chaldeans or the sorcerers or those in his kingdom concerning what the dream was that they can interpret. God allows it to be that way for a reason. That the dream being hidden from Nebuchadnezzar gave Daniel a chance. Amen. It made room for Daniel's gift of interpreting of dreams. Amen. And so he wanted everything to be dead. Amen. All of the men with knowledge, you know, all of the learned ones, you know, all of those moving in magic and everything. You can't tell me what my dream is, interpret my dream. He said, everybody's going to die. Daniel said, take me to the king. Amen. He let the king know. Amen. Give me some time. 3 days. Daniel did what? He went to see God. He says, I cannot tell you what's hidden in the darkness, but my God can tell me what's hidden in darkness. Amen. So the Holy Spirit is the revealer of deep secret things, those things that you don't know. Seek the Spirit. Let the Holy Ghost reveal to you those things that are hidden. Sometimes I forget things. If I forget, I meditate, close my eyes, and I just say, Lord, I ask that you bring it back to my remembrance. Next thing, pop, there it is. Amen. Hallelujah. There was a young man that lost his wallet. Amen. I was telling him, bring yourself to church tomorrow. He's like, oh, I don't know if I can make church. I lost my wallet at the mall. I said, you lost your wallet. He said, yeah. I said, your wallet is in a dark place. Your wallet is in between your feet. He said, no, no, no. And he was a Haitian guy. No, no, no. My wallet, I left it in the mall. The mall is closed. I got to go back for it tomorrow. He got home, and when he got up to go to work the next day, he looked in between the seat, and he called. He said, how did you know that? I don't know what you're working, but you're working something. I said, yeah, the Holy Spirit reveals the deep and secret things. Amen? See, because they understand that it's something working. It's the Holy Spirit that revealed the deep and secret things. I just saw the wallet lodged in a dark place, and it appeared to be in between the seat. Amen? And so I spoke what I saw. I was able to reveal that. Amen? That was the word of knowledge. And so when you can smell death, that is the word of knowledge. If you can smell flowers, that is the word of knowledge. But you have to seek God for him to reveal to you, amen, is there anything else? There was a time when my husband was out and I tasted something in my mouth, and I'm not going to go into detail. And I said, man, what is that? You know, that don't have nothing to do with me. But we won, amen. I called him. I said, Bishop. Hallelujah. What is that? Sure enough, God let me taste what was in his mouth. God revealed it. Amen. Hallelujah, my God. Amen. Just hallelujah, the power of God. And so we need the gifts of the Spirit. We that are the church, amen, we have to surrender to the Spirit that we can know what is operating. At times, there are things operating, but we don't know what it is. Amen. Or in my youth, when I smelled death, I didn't know what it was. Amen. God had to reveal to me what it was. We need revelation. Amen. And so, for nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been secret, but that it will come to light. Mark 4:22. One of the Hebrew words that I find to be a strong prophetic picture is the word yada. Y-A-D-A, the word yada. It is used frequently in the Old Testament for the word no. The word yada means to know, learn to know, to perceive and see, find out and discern, to discriminate, to distinguish, to know by experience, to recognize, to admit, acknowledge, confess, or to consider, yada. The word of knowledge comes forth over a person's life. It is an expression of God's great affection for a person. Amen? It is the Father loving and caring for them. So God may give you a word of knowledge, and it may be for healing. It may be to reveal something that is hidden. Amen? And it is the Lord revealing his great affection for a person. Amen? But he chooses to do it through you. Amen? And so it is funny that both sisters have the gift. Amen? It may be something generational for y'all. You know that both sisters had that gift where they was able to smell in the spirit, where the spiritual senses were activated. Amen? Or the sense of sight was activated. And so as you have five physical senses, there are also five spiritual senses for us to be able to relate to the spirit. Amen? Hallelujah to God in the spirit. Or to the spiritual realm. Amen? Okay. Amen. When we prophesy, we build people up. This is called edification. When we release the word of the Lord over his people, there is a building capacity in every prophetic word. The word of knowledge is a demonstration of God's power in the lives of his people. Amen? I remember when God was first cultivating me. Amen? I had personal experiences with him and his cultivation and his pruning of me. And there was one time when he took me to Judges 4. And in Judges 4, I must have read that book over and over and over again. He kept saying, read it again, read it again, read it again. I read it so much I was tired. I said, he can't be serious, right? And then he finally said to me, who will you be? Will you build up or will you tear down? And so in the book of Judges, as many times as I had to read that book, there was Deborah in that book, there was Delilah in that book, and then there was Tamar in that book. I believe it was Tamar, the one that ran the peg into the head of the enemy of the children of Israel. And the two women that stood out to me the most was Delilah and Deborah. And he asked me, what will you do, build up or tear down? You can't do both. And I chose to build up, amen. And I know that as a woman, we have this gift of putting a person on a pedestal and dropping them hard to the ground. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Tongue sharp, amen. Make you want to cry. Hallelujah. And God was teaching me that you cannot use your tongue for that, amen. He was teaching me that you cannot use your tongue for that, that you have to choose whether you're going to build up or tear down, amen? And so then I knew that I was being cultivated and developed to edify, to build, to, you know. And there's times when we do have to tear down, pluck up, amen? That's when the foundation is faulty. Mm-hmm. It's not right because you cannot build on a faulty foundation, amen? And so the Holy Spirit will reveal to you when that is, amen?
Yes.
At the end of the Old Testament, amen, the Lord was speaking through his prophet Hosea. I have also spoken by the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. You find this in Hosea 12:10. Hosea 12:10, God is speaking. I have spoken by my prophets, and he's still speaking by his prophets. And I have multiplied visions. He's still giving visions, whether they're open visions, amen, or in dreams, or and similitudes by the ministry of the prophets. The next day, John saw sight. You saw that the next day, John saw. I'm sorry, we in the Gospel of John 1:29, for those that want to see it in the Word. The Gospel of John 1:29.
John?
The Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. Verse 29. Mm-hmm. Verse 29.
Okay.
Someone read that scripture for me.
The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
The next day John saw thy sight. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus coming toward him and said, that sound, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Amen?
Yes.
And so he first saw, and then there was sound. The first expression is sound. There are times when the Lord whispers his thoughts into, and this is an expression of God through sound. Remember, in Eden, there was a voice print of God that walked with them in the cool of the day. That was sound. Amen. The God's voice was so distinct that it was like a print. Amen. Each of our voice is distinctive. It has its own vibration, its own sound. Amen. The first expression is sound. There are times when the Lord whispers his thoughts into our hearts and we speak what we hear. This is a vocal grace. That's a vocal grace. The ability to say what we hear the Lord say. The hearing expression is the most calming and the easiest to develop. It's easy to shut out the noise around you and just concentrate. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord speaks to people with that still, small voice, but he requires us to learn how to hear him. And so we have to learn how to enter into a devotion of hearing. Amen. Sometimes we call ourselves to be in a devotion with God, right? But we're doing all the talking.
Amen.
No, you have to get quiet after you have pressed into the rim of the Spirit. Get quiet, get still, and let God speak to you. Let him sow into you. Let him pull things. Sometimes when I'm reading the scriptures, there's certain things that stand out to me, and I will stay on that spot and meditate and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to me. At times, I could feel him pulling things out of my heart and sowing into my heart. Amen? And so we have to learn how to just stay there and hear him as well. Because no conversation or no fellowship is one way. Amen? And so we want to pray, spit up, and purge and do all that we're doing and sweat, and then we think we're done. No, you have to lay in the presence of God long enough and say, speak, Lord, speak. You know, get what you went there for. Get empowered. Amen? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Stay there long enough for him to impart something in you. Amen.
Yeah.
So I realize that a lot of our fellowship with God is one-sided. You know, we talk to him. And not that he can't do it when you get up and walk away, but I found our fellowship to be more fruitful when I'm still, when I can lay prostrate before him after the atmosphere has been cultivated, that I can hear from him. You know, my healing came that way. Amen. My knees were bone on bone, and I was moving like an old lady, and I asked God, what is this that has come upon your servant? Amen. And he told me, come in a little closer where the cherub covered the mercy seat. And I didn't get up and walk closer, but in the spirit, my journey was closer. You know, I was still sitting in the same seat at my dining room table, but I did come in closer spiritually. And it took me up in the spirit. And when the Holy Spirit finished with me, I was able to bend. I was able to do everything. My knees was new. Amen. Hallelujah. I didn't have no surgery, no nothing. God healed my body. And
Amen.
All I can say is, thank you, Lord. I was able to work
thank
out
you,
with the weight
Jesus.
And everything. And I said, Lord, I thank you because we was traveling from North Carolina to New York in pain. I was in pain. Amen.
Oof.
Getting out, trying to go to the bathroom, could hardly make it. But I could not stop going.
Mm-hmm.
It was not until it was that moment I was at my breaking point. Lord, what is it for me? You know, what do you have for me? You know, what is this thing that has come upon me? Amen. It was an attack. Amen. But I thank God for my healing, for my deliverance. Amen. And that right there is the healing, and it is done without medicine, and it is done without human help. God did it. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And when he do those type of things for us, we ought to rejoice. A lot of us, we're not new to this. We know that God is a healer. We know that he is a deliverer. Those of you that are at Cornerstone Deliverance Church, we cast out many devils. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all get healed, delivered.
Amen.
The nine gifts of the Spirit is working. The Bible is coming alive before your very eyes. Glory is present.
Glory.
Amen. The signs of glory is following us. Amen. Hallelujah. Why? Because we give ourselves over to the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. So the Lord speaks to people that with a still small voice, but he requires us to learn how to hear him, the devotion of hearing. He's the one doing the talking, not you. God doesn't need your suggestion. Amen. And so I was that way. I thought that I could give God a suggestion. He had to check me hard. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God was not always kind to me. Amen. And so we ask that if you have noise in your background, that you mute your background, please, that it does not interrupt the respond to what's going on in your home. Okay, he wants us to say only what he tells you. We need to hear God's word. We need to hear what God says. Amen? And so the expression is called sight. Sight is a visual grace. This means that God shows you things that were, that are, and that are to come. Amen. Sight. Amen. Whenever you are seeing spiritually, smelling spiritually, feeling, or seeing spiritually, disembodied spirits, moving darkness, whatever it may be, you ought to respond to God. You know, that he can develop you. Listen. Elevation comes from above. Who makes you without spot and without wrinkle? The Holy Spirit. Who teaches you all things? The Holy Spirit. Did God give us passes after our own heart? Did he give us the fivefold ministry to equip us? Yes, he did. Amen. But there are times when the Holy Spirit is dealing directly with you. You have to pause. You have to salah. You have to slow down long enough to respond to him. Amen. And to hear what it is that he is saying. Beloved, I'm trying to get us through this course. I don't know if we're going to get through it today, but we're going to see how far we could go. The Lord shows you things and pictures like dreams, visions, and trances, right? Vision is a pictorial image of what the Lord is doing or about to do. There are many people with the gift to dream, others with the gift of seeing strong visions or open visions. And open visions is you're not asleep, but it's, you know, even your eyes could be open, and there's a vision. You're captivated. Amen? This is also a way that the Lord shows us things. In Acts 10, Peter had a vision of a basket of birds and beasts telling him, rise, kill, and eat. Amen? Peter was hungry. The vision came at a time when he was hungry. He was on the rooftop. Amen? A sheep fell down. And he was told to kill and eat. But Peter said he had never eaten anything common and unclean. God gave Peter that vision because he had already sent the angel to Cornelius. This is in Acts 10. Y'all can read it for yourself. Slow read it. Slow walk it. Hear the word of the Lord. He had already sent an angel to Cornelius to tell him to send for Peter. Amen? So at that time, amen, it was not befitting for Jews to go into the house of Gentiles. Remember, Jesus ushered in a new era. Amen?
Amen.
Peter had that vision because he was about to go, or God was about to send him to go and give the gospel to Gentiles. The Gentile to the Jews were common and unclean. They were uncircumcised. They were common. They was without God. But God prepared Peter in a vision. And he said, do not call anything that I have cleansed common and unclean.
Yeah.
Peter did not understand the vision in its fullness when he went. It wasn't until Peter got to Cornelius' house and asked Cornelius, why did you send for me? And Cornelius began to share pertaining to his prayer, the angel coming, and Peter preached the gospel. And when he preached the gospel, God poured out his spirit upon every believing heart in Cornelius' household. Amen. All of his house.
Amen.
And Peter knew at that time that it was the Holy Spirit that was poured out upon them that made them common, that made them uncommon and clean. Right? Why? Because the Holy Spirit circumcises the heart. And under this new covenant, it is a heart circumcision not a circumcision of the genital of a man. Amen? And so Peter said, if God had given them the gift of the Spirit as he had given unto us, why will we not baptize them? Amen? If this is what God is doing, who can instruct God? Amen? So God gave Peter a vision to prepare him for where he was about to go. And we too have to be careful not to call anything common and unclean that God has cleansed. Amen? Amen. It may not look clean to you. It may not look clean to you. It may not even act clean. Amen? It may be a work in progress. Amen?
Amen.
So this is why we really have to hear from God. I remember there was a time when I was in prayer, and God just said to me, he said, pray for my people. Bless my people. And I said, bless your people? I said, well, who are your people, Lord? Because the way it came was like I was supposed to know. I said, oh, no, who are your people, Lord? And so throughout the day, people was calling me, and I was speaking to people, and I was giving them the word of God, and they was going up in the spirit. I said, ain't no way that one is yours. Ain't no way. And but it was his. Amen. Hallelujah. So I realized that I need a revelation on who belonged to God.
Amen.
I just need a revelation. God, you show me who's yours. Amen. Because sometimes what I see with the naked eye may not do me justice. Amen. I need to know by way of the Spirit. I need a revelation. God, revealed to me, is this one yours? And I believe that that was, too, the Holy Spirit developing me. That's how the Holy Spirit will develop you. Amen? You don't want to see through your own eyes. You want to see through the eyes of the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
We don't want to count out who God is not counting out. Amen? Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, we are done with a lot of people that God ain't done with. Amen? Hallelujah. And sometimes I say, I'm done with you. God may not be done with you, but I'm finished. Amen?
Amen.
And then God may have to humble me if he still wants to use me in that way concerning that. Amen? But at times we can be done, but God is not done. Amen?
Amen.
Man is not the final authority. Amen? So finally, similitudes or symbols are a powerful prophetic expression. There are a lot of places in the word where symbolism is used. Some people testify of seeing writing in the clouds. Some see images in the clouds. If that is your gifting, ask the Lord to reveal to you what he means. Take time to study the meaning of symbols. There are different forms. The word of knowledge comes as a revelation about a physical condition. This will partner with gifts of healing, working of miracles, or a gift of faith to release God's miracle-working power. Amen?
Yeah.
Healing words of knowledge access the power of God to get rid of an ailment, pain, or disease. There are other times it comes in the form of instruction. This is a release of insight to provide answers and wisdom into the life of a believer. Many times people are seeking God for direction, confirmation about a decision, or his will for their life. Have God ever used you to speak something and you didn't understand at that time that you were speaking a word of knowledge or giving direction or the word of wisdom, and then the person that you spoke to revealed, man, you spoke just of everything that I asked God for.
Mm-hmm.
You're not in my house. You're not where I am. Or you didn't even know what I asked God for, but you spoke the answer to my problem. Amen.
Yeah.
That's the word of knowledge. That's the word of knowledge. So now you can identify what gift God is working through you by way of his Spirit, because he is working through you. Amen. Just bear with me for a minute. We almost done. Through the word of knowledge, there is light shed upon that which was previously hidden. This type of word partners with a word of wisdom to provide the much needed insight and direction. Other times, God speaks about loved ones and ministers to a family in order to bring restoration, salvation, healing, and redemption. Amen? This could be the revelation of an attack, potential attack, or a promise over a family. Amen? God is a covenant-keeping God. He will move on behalf of a family through the realm of wisdom and revelation. Amen? Prophets carry a mantle for economy and multiplication. Amen. Remember, Jesus was able to multiply 2 fish and 5 loaves. He was able to feed 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves, 4,000. Amen. He operated in an anointing of multiplication. Prophets don't just have positions in church. Some prophets don't have any position in the church at all. Some prophets are prophets over business. Amen. Abraham knew how to dig a hole in the ground that he did not have to take his cattle far and for some of them to die for him to get them water. He was able to dig in the ground and water came out of the ground. Job was rich because Job was an oil digger, an oil dweller. Job dug in the ground and oil came out. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, Amen. Beloved, God can give you wisdom to obtain wealth. But when you get it, don't forget him. That's scripture in Proverbs. Amen. He gives you wisdom to obtain wealth. But when you get wealth, don't forget God. Amen. Don't forget the giver.
Amen.
The prophetic anointing can give wisdom and insight concerning investment, entrepreneurship, and business. Amen. When these words come forth, there is power to multiply. It must be understood that the prophetic rim carries divine increase. The prophetic rim carries divine increase. When there is prophetic instruction, there is access to increase. The word of the Lord through Elisha canceled debt and bondage. In the life of the widow and release divine multiplication. Remember the widow who had a husband that was amongst the prophets and he left her with debt and her children was going to be sold into slavery to repay the debt? Do you remember that text?
I remember.
She required of the prophet. Amen. The prophet asked her what she had in her house. She said, all I have in my house is a little cursor of oil. Okay. God used what she had. He said, go and get you some empty jars. Go borrow into empty jars. Amen? Y'all remember that? I'm going to find that and send that out to y'all that y'all can read it, that y'all can see, amen, that there is divine multiplication and increase. He told her what to do.
Yes.
Amen. Go into your house. Amen. Shut the door. And as she poured that vial out into every empty vessel, every empty jar, it did not stop multiplying until there was no more jars. That was a supernatural divine debt cancellation.
Wow.
She was able to pay off her debt and have enough to live off of. Amen?
Amen.
And so, amen, there are those that are operating in the prophetic or in the 9 gifts of the Spirit for investment, entrepreneurship, and business. I know that God had canceled a second mortgage on my house of $128,000. I got a debt cancellation letter in the mail. I prayed God, tossed it to the side. A year later, I inquired about it by the company that sent it. And when I called them, they told me that they had a business meeting. We had a business meeting. And we decided. I just started praising God. Because I said, man, God put my house in my
name
in the mouth of bankers. Hallelujah. And God had these bankers. He turned their heart and they canceled my debt. Amen.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
I called up the town because I wanted to make sure that the lien was gone from my house. Amen. Listen, the lien has been released. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
My equity
Jesus.
Has been restored. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah,
praise God.
Jesus.
So God is still in the business of debt cancellation. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Supernaturally and divinely. Amen. God has done this. Amen.
Hallelujah.
And so if he did it then and he's doing it now, he can do it for you. Amen.
Amen.
And so when my bills come in, I don't play around with it like I got enough money to pay all these bills because I know how God blessed me. Is according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
How do your checks so far? And I'm not telling you not to be a good steward and stay within your means, don't overspend. Amen? But even what's within my resources, I acknowledge the power of God. I gather
Amen.
My bills together and I give them to God like I give everything else to him. Amen? Lord, hallelujah, I need you to meet my needs. According to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus, I don't know how these bills are going to get paid, but I'm putting a demand on your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. Multiply my bank account. had someone to feed into my life, God. Listen, the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. Amen. And it shall shift. Hallelujah. Praise God.
Amen.
I am expecting and anticipating my blessing. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus.
Praise God. Hallelujah. And so, beloved, don't just allow the prophetic in you to be subject to the church. Amen. Because there were prophets, Daniel. Amen. He was the advisor of the pagan king. He was in bondage.
Yes.
Amen. But he was second in command. His gift made room for him. Prophets over the marketplace. Amen. Well, give me revelation. Give me prophecy. Give me something that I could prevail in the marketplace. Amen. Whether it be real estate, whether it be the stock market, whatever it may be. Amen. Whatever you need, if you put a demand on God, amen, where there is a demand, he will release a supply. Amen. Beloved, we're going to close out in a minute. We are almost done. And so it says, this is just one of many examples of the prophetic increase in the word of God, words of knowledge and words of wisdom in the arena of business, investments, economic decisions can provide key direction for God's plan in the life of a believer. Amen. We don't want to put God in a box. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We don't want to put our God in a box. Finally, the prophet Jeremiah was called before he was born. Amen. So that's why some of your gifts was operating in you from a young age. He was a man whom the nation of Israel still venerates as one of their greatest prophets. In verse 11 of chapter 1 in the book of Jeremiah, the Lord said, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? The word moreover in this. This is what the word moreover means. Amen. It means in scripture, and furthermore, or besides, right? Paraphrase. Now that you are a prophet, what do you see? There's another ministry besides prophecy, Nabe, Jeremiah. What do you see, Rohe? This is an amazing gift, and it's for all of you. Amen. Eternal Father, in the name of Jesus, by the blood, for those that have pressed in this spirit under the anointing and the unctioning of my voice, even now, O God, do I speak activation to their spiritual senses, O God? Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, by the blood, I speak to the sense of sight, the sense of hearing, O God, to the sense of smell, the sense of touch, O God, in the name of Jesus, to all five spiritual senses that have not been activated, that they be activated now by the anointing and the unctioning of my voice, O God. Allow your people ears to hear good news in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, equip and qualify the call in the name of Jesus by the blood. Give them revelation of what it is that they see, what they hear, what they feel, what they smell, O God, in the name of Jesus. Let the Bible come alive before their very eyes, O God. We ask that you manifest yourself to your people in Jesus' name. Even as they slumber their head upon their bed on tonight, Father, I pray that you unstop their ears and seal your instruction in the name of Jesus. Give them dreams to come forth, O God, by way of your Holy Ghost, O God, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Develop them in these giftings, O God, and then as they respond to you, answer them, O God, as they seek your presence, as they knock open the door to the prophetic, in Jesus' name, let a prophetic river run through your people. Let it flow, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus. Cause the prophetic river to flow. Cause for your people to fall in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, receive the blessing of the Lord. Receive the impartation of God that has come forth through this revelation. Receive it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. This is the dawning of a new day for you. You will never be the same. Hallelujah. You will never be the same. This is the dawning of a new day. Hallelujah. For you are responsible for the knowledge that you have received, for the revelation. cornerstonedeliverancechurch.com, or you can send it to cornerstonedeliverancechurch@gmail.com, and we will look it over. And as I said, that if you desire a syllabus for this teach, amen, you can go to the church website, at www.cornerstonedeliverancechurch.com, and we have a web store there, amen, where you can go in to get the syllabus. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, beloved, if there be one on the line today that does not know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, amen. Hallelujah. We extend unto you today Jesus Christ, amen, the free gift of eternal life through faith in Jesus and his finished work at the cross. That's his death, his burial, and his resurrection, amen. Yes, our Savior lives. Hallelujah. Yes. So we don't invite you to a dead God or an idol. He's very much alive, amen. Hallelujah. His tomb is empty. Amen, hallelujah. And he resurrected, and he sprinkled the blood of sprinkling for our sins on the mercy seat in the third heavens, amen. And so, beloved, we extend unto you today, Jesus, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but shall have eternal life. If you find yourself in backslidden state, now is the hour of salvation. You don't have tomorrow or next week. That stuff may never come. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And praise. Embrace the moment. Amen. Eternity, the kingdom of God is upon you now. Amen. So to be one tonight, hallelujah. The Bible, according to, amen, Jesus caused me to remember, hallelujah. Romans 10:9, that if you believe with your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, amen, that you shall be saved. Amen. That Jesus is Lord and that he resurrected, that you shall be saved, amen. I too need the Holy Spirit to bring these scriptures to my remembrance, amen. That keeps me humble, hallelujah. I'm constantly calling on the name of Jesus to remember, amen. And so, beloved, hallelujah, if that be you on tonight, your heart is pricked and you want to believe, amen. You do believe, your heart is pricked, you believe, and you want to repent of your sins, Lord Jesus. Just repeat after me, Lord Jesus, here I am.
Here I am.
A sinner in my sins.
Come
into my heart. I believe you died. For my sins. I believe that you are Lord. And I believe that you resurrected. And I promise to serve you. The balance of my days. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Thank God. Amen. And if you believe in your heart and confess today, you are no longer a sinner, man, boy, or girl. You are the righteousness of God. It's just that simple. Amen. But every sheep need a shepherd, that you can be developed, that you can be baptized in Jesus' name, that you can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire with the evidence of speaking in tongues. People don't like to hear me say that, but I'm going to say it because we want the evidence. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We want the evidence. We want to judge that tongue and make sure it's the right tongue, hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So every sheep need a shepherd. You can call us at Cornerstone Deliverance Church, 800-373-6948, extension 801. If you're in the Georgia area, reach out to Prophetess Margaret Cavanaugh. Amen. Kingdom Living Fellowship, a daughter work of CSDC, 800-373-6948, extension 815. And if you're in the Dallas, Texas area, Apostle Evie Wright, another daughter work of Cornerstone Deliverance Church, Spices Ministry. And you could reach her at 800-373-6948, extension 814. Amen. Hallelujah. Beloved, we would like to pray with you. Amen. And further instruct you. And if you can't make it to CSDC, we can help you find a Bible-believing church that moves by the Spirit in your region, something that is fit to be able to equip you in this new life in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because this is a new life. So, Eternal Father, in the name of Jesus, by the blood, everyone that has believed on today, whose heart was strictly committed unto you, that you may finish the good work that you started in them, that you may multiply what has been done, that you will bring them to maturity and also send them out as witness producing saints. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen.
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 And that is the blessing of the Lord, beloved. You are blessed. I'm going to ask tonight that Sister Latasha, amen, bless you, woman of God. It's good to hear you on. And everyone else that is on, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Prophet Cavanaugh, are you on tonight? Amen. I don't think Prophet Cavanaugh is on tonight. But Sister Latasha, I'm going to ask that you close us out in prayer. Sister Latasha, are you still on?
Yeah, I'm still on. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah, just call this out in prayer, woman of God.
Father God, I commit this Bible study to you tonight. Father God, we just want to lift up your mighty name. Father God, I ask you today to cover everyone that's on the line today. For your word was spoken over us today. I thank you for the gifting of the spirits, the knowledge that you have given unto Apostle Asia tonight. Father God, I just thank you. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your covering. Lord Jesus, help us to be able to walk in your ways and to be able to receive wisdom and knowledge. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father God, we ask you, we thank you. We come to you as a humble servant. Father God, we just thank you that you're covering us and you're blessing us and you're shielding us with your presence, oh God.
Jesus.
Father God, I just want you to just bless everyone tonight on the line, Father. Keep us safe and hidden in your arms. Precious Jesus, we thank you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God be loved, beloved. Let us go in peace and serve the Lord and be a witness of Jesus Christ.